Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah on the upper part of Daf Lamed, about 8 lines from the top. Before we begin the Gemara itself, we will take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Shas that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is topic headings and structural notes that appear in the outside margin as needed from time to time. In this case, under the Nosei, which is the topic heading, we have written the following: Inyonei Ne'emonus, matters regarding trustworthiness and reliability, legabi mi shechoshud al echod mehanosim haboim, regarding someone who is suspect in violating or lax with regard to one of the following topics. He may be lax or suspect as violating shvius. Those are rules pertaining to the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, which is a year in which all agricultural activity is put on hold and commerce done with sabbatical year produce is forbidden, and there's also a deadline during which one is expected to cease the consumption of Shvius produce. So if he is lax with regard to one of those areas, he's called Choshur al HaShvius. Maisros is an issue concerning tithing, the tithes that one removes from his produce, Trumas and Maisros. Those are tithes, and if one is suspect with regard to separating this tithe, the Maiser tithe, so he's called Choshur al HaMaisros. And there's a realm called Taros, one's being careful with regard to ritual matters of ritual purity, and regarding that, if he is choshed with regard to taros, what is his status with regard to other matters? So now we turn to the Gemara. The Mishnah says, "Hechoshed al shvius, eino choshed al hamaisrus." If one is a suspect with regard to Shemitah year matters, he is not considered suspect with regard to maisrus. Hechoshed al hamaisrus, eino choshed al shvius. One who is suspect with regard to maisrus is not suspect with regard to shvius. Hechoshed al ze vi al ze. If he is suspect with regard to shvius and maisrus, choshed al hataros. He is considered suspect with regard to matters of purity, of tahara. V'yesh shu choshed al hataros, there could be a situation of someone who is suspect with regard to taros, v'eino choshed loy al zeh v'loy al zeh, and he is not suspect with regard to Shemitah, nor with regard to Maisros. Zeh haklal, this is the rule. Koha choshed al dovar, if someone is suspect with regard to a particular matter, loy donoy v'lo me'ido, he doesn't judge such cases, nor can he testify with regard to such cases. The Gemara. At this point, the Gemara will ask why behind the different relationships in trustworthiness that were alluded to by the Mishnah. In general, the idea is that some people will consider one of the areas we mentioned a more serious area of concern, and hence will be reluctant or hesitant to violate that area, when at the same time, according to his own perception of things, the other area, whichever one it may be, is considered a light matter in his eyes and will, without hesitation, violate that other area. So we turn to the Gemara, my taimo. Why is it, with regard to the opening of the Mishnah, where we said that one is suspect with regard to Shemitah, he's not suspect with regard to Maisris? In other words, in his eyes, Shemitah is considered a lighter matter, whereby he'll violate Shemitah, but at the same time will take Maisris as a serious issue. The Gemara itself will be making reference to the Maiser Sheni tithe. The Maiser Sheni tithe is produce, one-tenth of one's produce, that one sets aside during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah sabbatical cycle. During those years, the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, a person is expected to set aside 10% of his produce and bring those fruits or vegetables to Yerushalayim. And he cannot eat them outside of Yerushalayim. They need the wall, that's called a choma. They need the wall of Yerushalayim in order to create an allowance for consuming Maiser Sheni. It's not a tithe that's given to someone else, but rather it's a tithe that one separates, keeps for himself, but must eat it in the choma of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, if you're asking why is Shemitah considered a light matter in this person's eyes relative to Maisers, the Gemara answers, Shviyas lo baya choma. As far as Shviyas produce is concerned, there's no need for bringing it to any special place, no need to bring it into the walls of Yerushalayim. Maiser, however, Maiser Sheni, Kevon deboy choma, since it's something that you can't eat just wherever you like, as opposed to Shviyas produce that you can, since you have this restriction with regard to Maiser Sheni, since it's Boy Choma needs the walls, Chamira Lei, it is considered stringent in his eyes, or a serious matter. And as a result of this, the Halacha says, the Mishnah is saying, and Rashi explains, that during those years, the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, when you buy something from a person like this, who is Choshed on Shviyas, you don't have to take off the Maiser Sheni tithe with a sense of certainty. In other words, it will be, you have to tithe it on the grounds of maybe, on the grounds of demai, but as far as looking at the produce as vadai needing to be tithed, that is not so, because there is a strong chance that he will have tithed the Maiser Sheni tithe. HaChoshed al HaMaiser Einu Choshed al HaShviyas. Now this is the flip case. Someone who may be suspect with regard to Maiseris won't be suspect with regard to Shemitah. So that would mean that produce that you buy from him after the Shemitah year, or after the deadline for those particular types of produce arises, you don't have to worry that what she gives you is from the Shemitah, from Shemitah produce. Now why is this? My Taimo, why is it that he, at the same time that he's suspect with regard to Maiser, he's not suspect with regard to Shviyas? So the Gemara answers, Maiser Islay Pidyon, Shviyas, Kevon de Komitzerole, Velesle Pidyon, Chamirole. Maiser is something, those Maiser Sheni fruits that we just discussed, they can, in fact, be redeemed. The sanctity that they have, that necessitates their consumption in Yerushalayim, can actually be transferred to cash. And the cash is then brought to Yerushalayim where one buys the produce. That's something that we call pidyon, redemption. However, with regard to Shemitah, Kevon dekomitzura lei, the Shviyas produce is itself something that absorbs prohibition, becomes forbidden. Forbidden, as we said before, to do commerce with, and there are restrictions with regard to times after which you cannot eat it anymore. The Lesle Pidyon, the Gemara says, that there is no concept of redemption that applies to Shemitah. So chamirolei, it therefore takes on a sense of significance, of importance, and he therefore won't be suspect with regard to Shemitah produce. HaChoshud al zeh ve'al zeh, Choshud al Hataros. Our mission had said that if he is suspect with regard to violations concerning Maisers and Shvius, he is also considered suspect with regard to maintaining purity, Tara, of his items. And the reason for that is, Kevan de Choshud Adoraisa, once someone is suspect with regard to matters that are Torah-based, in other words, Maiser Sheni is something that the Torah requires, Shvius is something that the Torah dictates. Kol shekein adrabanan, then all the more so, if he takes things that are Torah ordained lightly, he certainly will take rabbinic items lightly. And the whole realm of taros that we're discussing over here has to do with an area under rabbinic law, not Torah law. In other words, the idea that a person's chulin must be kept tahor is not something that is of a Torah origin. It's something that there is a rabbinic provision for someone who wants to accept upon himself restrictions with regard to his chulin, so he's able to do that, and it becomes binding upon him, but that is a rabbinic realm. V'yesh choshud al hataros, you could have someone that is suspect with regard to taros, that his produce is not is tome, and you have to suspect that it is. V'eino choshud al shvius umaisus, but he is not suspect with regard to being lax with regard to the Maiser Sheni tithe, nor is he suspect in violating Shemitah. My taima, why this difference? Answer, Nihi da adarabonan choshed, granted he may be suspect over Taros, which is rabbinic, adoraisa lo choshed, but something that's of a Torah origin, he is not suspect, the Torah being something more severe. The Gemara now asks, "V'ramini ne'emon al hatarois ne'emon al hashvius." If someone is trustworthy with regard to taros, so he is considered trustworthy with regard to Shemitah. From this, we can infer, "Ha choshed, choshed." If he is choshed on taros, then he is choshed legabi shvius. He is then choshed on Shemitah. So while this is a challenge, this contradicts that which we were taught in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if he's choshed on taros, he's not choshed on Shvius. Here, the inference from this source suggests that if he's choshed on taros, he is choshed on Shvius. To resolve this, the Gemara provides a couple of approaches. Number one, Omer Rabbi Ilo, Masnisin, the Mishnah, in which we say that even though he's choshed on taros, he is nemon regarding shvius and maisris. Kishira'inuhu shenoheg betzino besoch beso. This is referring to someone that we saw, this noheg that practices the din of maisris and shvius in privacy in his house. Therefore, we don't suspect that he is putting on a show. Since he is careful with Shvius and Maisris in privacy, we know that he is serious about those matters. So that you can have a person that even though he's choshed on Taros, with regard to Shvius and Truma, we won't say, as we saw in the Mishnah, we won't say that he is choshed on Shvius and Truma, because we see him practicing and behaving in accordance with the Halacha with regard to Shvius and Truma in private. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Now he comes to explain the Brisa in which we inferred if he's choshed on Taras, he is choshed on the other matters. Kegoin dahavi choshed atravayu. We're talking about a situation where originally he was choshed both on Taros and the other areas. The Osakami Rabbonan. This man who had been suspect with regard to, he was lax with regard to all of the above matters. Taros, Trumos, Shvius. Then he came to the Rabbonan, Vosikami Rabbonan, the Kobila Travayu, and he then accepted regarding all those areas, the rabbinic area, the Dorais area, both of these areas. He accepted upon himself in the presence of the Rabbonan to be careful to observe the halachas. The hodar ichshid a chad minayu, And then he became suspect with regard to one of those areas. One of those areas, we mentioned the rabbinic area and the Doraisa area, the Torah-based area. He then, after accepting responsibility and trustworthiness, he then was seen to become choshed, was suspect in violating one of those areas. The Amrinon, and then we say, and this is what the inference from the Braisa was telling us, Migu de choshed aho, choshed nami aidoch. Since he became suspect with regard to one of those areas, he is suspect with regard to the other area as well. And that was the inference that we saw in the Braisa, that if he's choshed even on Taros, he is choshed on Shvius. But once again, that was referring to a situation where the person had already been suspect with regard to all the areas. Omar Rabo Barbachana Om Rav Yochanan Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimto. That which we saw in the Mishnah is an unnamed Mishnah, it's called a Stam, or the word Stimto. This is an unnamed Mishnah that said one who is choshed on Shvius is not choshed on Meiser. That was one of the points we saw in the Mishnah. This is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. It's an unnamed Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Avol Chachomim Omrim, the other school of Tanoim, would disagree and say choshed al Hashvius, choshed al Hameiser, that someone who is choshed on Shvius is choshed on Meiser. Well, man chachomim, which Tana by name is represented by this shita of chachomim? Answer: Rabbi Yehuda. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The ba'asrei de Rabbi Yehuda shvius chamira lahu. In the town of Rabbi Yehuda, shvius is a very serious topic, serious area of halacha. They take it very seriously. So that if someone becomes choshed on Shvius, which is viewed very seriously, you can rest assured that he will be suspect with regard to Meiser, which is taken less seriously in Rabbi Yehuda's town. And the Gemara illustrates this. There was a person who used to insult his friends. He used to insult his surroundings, calling them Dairo Bar Dayarta, which is a, Rashi says, Ger Ben Giores. He intended that as an insult. Omru Le, they told him, Tasi Li, well, I might be that, but better that, so to speak, Delo Achli Peros Shvius Kabosech, but at least I'm not someone that eats Shvius produce after they become usher, after they become forbidden, like you do. So we see that you violate Shvius, and that's worse than what you're calling me. As we just illustrated, it was a little bit of exchange of insults between one and the other, and you can see that they use Shvius, a Shvius violator, as being an example of someone who is a real unacceptable individual, or colloquially, a real lowlife. Iko di Amri, Omar Rabo Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Simto. Another version of this, of Rabo Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan, is as follows. That once again, our Mishnah he is presenting as a Stam Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that the author of our unnamed Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, Avo Chachomim Omrim, and here, using our markings, notice the difference. Just compare the dashed underlined sections. It says here, Choshud al Hameiser, Choshud al Hashvius. This is the difference in this particular approach. Whereas the Mishnah said that if one is choshed on Meiser, he's not choshed on Shvius necessarily. Here, the Chachamim say one who's choshed on Meiser is choshed on Shvius. Uman Chachamim, who are the Chachamim that are represented over here? Rabbi Meir he. It's a reflection of Rabbi Meir's approach. The Omar, choshed l'dover echad, have a choshed l'chol ha'Torah kula. Rabbi Meir says that if one is suspect with regard to one area of halacha, he loses credibility with regard to all other areas. Rabbi Yoinov, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Talmidei, Rabbi Zeira. The names referred to of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rav Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiyah are students of Rabbi Zira. Now another version, the Amri law, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Zira, Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan. So, as far as the two versions are concerned, it's just a difference in who says, who are represented as the Talmidim of whom. But Chal Omar, one of them says, Avo Chachomim Omrim, in other words, in contrast with that which we said above, the Chachomim will tell you, Choshud Al Hashvias, Choshud Al Hamaiser. One who is choshud on with regard to Shemitah is considered choshud with regard to Maisers. Uman Chachomim, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we saw that already, because in Rabbi Yehuda's town, Shvius was considered a very severe topic, of area. So if he's suspect with regard to that severe area, certainly he'll be suspect with being lax with regard to Maiser, which they view lighter. Uman Chachomim, and who is that Chachomim? So we said Rabbi Yehuda. That's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, and the Shita Mekubetzis just adds a few words here. The Ba'asrei Rabbi Yehuda Chamira Lehu Shvius. In the town of Rabbi Yehuda, Shvius is viewed very seriously, as we spoke before. V'chad Omar HaChoshud Al HaMaiser, Choshud Al HaShvius, and the other one of these two students of whoever said, like we said before, that if someone is suspect with regard to Meiser, he is suspect with regard to Shvius. Once again, a departure from our Mishnah. Uman Chachomim, and who would the Chachomim be according to this approach? Rebbe Meir. Now, we will see this in reflected in the following source, Desanya. The Shita Mekubetzis adds before, after the Gemara says, Uman Chachomim, Rebbe Meir, here the Shita Mekubetzis adds, My Rebbe Meir. What is Rebbe Meir? Which Rebbe Meir are you referring to? And once again, we're looking for some type of statement of Rebbe Meir that would reflect this idea, that if someone is choshed on Meiser, he's considered choshed with regard to Shvius. Desanya, we have a source. Now, at this point, we have also a topic heading that introduces a large amount of that which will appear on this Omid of Gemara. If you glance at the outside margin, you'll see we have written under our Nosei heading, Brisos, we have a list of Tanaic sources, the Inyan Kabolas Chaveros, regarding one who accepts upon himself a status known as Chaver, or Chaverus. Rashi enumerates that this state of being considered a Chaver involves a number of areas that, of stringency or of reliability that one accepts upon himself. And if we just glance at the Rashi, you can see we've numbered several points. Third line from the top, Rashi says, Shelo yitein trumo maiser lamoretz. In order to be a chover, one has to accept them upon himself not to give truma and maiser tithes to ignoramuses. Shelo yase taros etzel amoretz. And when he processes food that must be maintained in a state of ritual purity, he won't use the vessels, he won't do it in the domain of an amoretz. In the case of an amoretz, he's someone whose vessels and other matters represent laxity with regard to taharos. And a third point, v'shiyochal chulin b'tara. And a chover is someone who accepts upon himself to treat his chulin as if it were, let us say, truma or kutchim, where he, even though there's no prohibition in allowing one's chulin to become tome, he nevertheless accepts upon himself a stringency whereby his chulin, he's careful not to allow the chulin to become tohar, to become tome. And a fourth point, v'shiaser eshu oichel v'shu moicher v'eshu lokeach. And that anything he buys from Amoratzim, he will tithe, even though the Amoratz may very well have tithe. He accepts upon himself that which he eats, that which he sells, and that which he buys. He is careful with those matters. So if one accepts all of these upon himself, he gains a status an honored status of chaverus or chover. So in this source we see Amoretz shekibo olav divrei chaverus, a person who is generally assumed to be uninformed, who accepts upon himself, who investigated the matters and accepts upon himself chaverus, v'nechshad l'dovor echad. And then, after accepting upon himself this status, he becomes suspect with regard to one of these matters. Nechshad l'chol haTorah kula, divrei Rabbi Meir. He becomes suspect with regard to all other areas as well. In other words, when you lose your credibility, you really lose everything. Now, this ties into what we saw just before this Tanaic source, which appears in the frame here, as all do all Tanaic sources. The Gemara had said that one who is choshed on Meiser, according to the Chachamim, would be choshed on Shvius. This is a function of one who has become suspect in one area, becomes suspect in all other areas. This, of course, was not the opinion of our Mishnah, that it said someone who is choshed on Meiser is not choshed on Shvius. The source continues, V'chachomim omrim, eino nechshad eloloi sodover bilvad. According to the Chachomim, who disagree with Rabbi Meir, if one is suspect with regard to a particular area, the suspicion and lack of credibility is limited to that particular area alone. Diger shekibel olav divrei Torah, v'nechshad ledover echad, a convert who accepted upon himself, as a convert would be expected, accepts upon himself all of the Torah, and then becomes suspect with regard to one area. Vafilu choshed l'chol haTorah kula, and even if he, after he became a ger and had accepted everything, is become suspect with regard to all of the Torah, harei hu ki Yisrael mumar. He is considered, nevertheless, a full-fledged Jew, because once he accepted upon himself the Torah and entered Gerus, entered the state of conversion, the fact that he becomes suspect later on doesn't cancel the Gerus that he achieved, but rather he becomes considered like a sinning Jew, not a retroactive abrogation of the conversion. Nafkamina, the practical bearing of knowing this particular point, that after accepting upon himself Gerus, if he then goes back to a suspicious Torah behavior, he nevertheless maintains the Jewish status. So there's a nafkamina, the ikadish, if he, after he went off the path, he went and was mekadesh a woman, that means he gave a money or money value to a woman in anticipation of marrying her, kiddush of kiddushin, she is considered married as a result. Tanu rabbanan haba lekabel divrei chaverus chutz midover echad. Someone who comes to accept upon himself this category of being a chaver, and we enumerated before in the Rashi what that entails, but he says chutz midover echad, with the exception of one of the practices I don't accept upon myself, ein mekablen oso. He doesn't gain chaver status. He doesn't gain, even though he was willing to accept most of chaver obligations, but since he left out one thing, he doesn't gain chaver status, which is a status of trustworthiness. Oyvid chavim sheba lekabel divrei Torah chutz midover echad, an idol worshiper who intends to convert to Judaism, and he accepts upon himself all of the Torah except for one area. Ein mekablen oso. We don't accept his conversion. We don't accept him as a convert. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu diktuk echad midiktuke soifrim. When we speak about his making an exception, when this convert tries to make an exception with regard to one area, it's not only if it's a Torah-based area of halacha, even a chumra de rabbanon, a stringency of the rabbanon. If he says, I don't want to keep, we don't accept any of his conversion. V'chein ben Levi, sheba lekabel divrei Leviya. A person who is a ben Levi, means he's a Levite, a Levi, and he serves in the Beis HaMikdash either as a singer or as a gatekeeper. So if he accepts upon himself to observe the obligations of a Levi, and with the exception of one practice that he doesn't accept upon himself, the Kohen shebal kabel divrei kahuna chutz midover echad. Likewise, a Kohen who accepts upon himself all of the rules of kuna with one exception, ein mekablin oso, he does not gain a trustworthiness with regard to matters of levia or matters of kahuna, respectively. Shenemar, and as the pasuk says, what we're trying to see is that the issues of acceptability and trustworthiness with regard to divrei kahuna is illustrated in this pasuk. In other words, it's all or nothing kind of thing. Hamakriv, the pasuk says, Hamakriv is dam hashlamim, and the continuation says, v'shachilev, one who offers the sacrifices, and the chilev mibnei aron, lo tiyeh shok hayomin limona. And now we darshan this. Ho avoido hamasura livnei aron, the tasks given over to bnei aron, to the kehanim, kol kohen she'eno mode ba, any kohen who doesn't accept it, ein lo chelek b'kuna. And we, as we said, even if he doesn't accept one aspect, only if he accepts everything, then he will get the shok hayomin limana, as the pasuk said. If he accepts all of the rules of kahuna, making no exceptions, only then does he get his sacrificial portion. Tanu rabbanan habala kabel divrei chaverus. Im ra'inu shenoig b'tzina b'sof beso mekablen oso. A person who comes, who approaches the rabbanan requesting a certification as being a chaver, if we have seen him to practice the rules of chaverus in private before he made his approach to us, so mekablen oso, we then accept his request for certification as a chaver, the achakach melamden oisoi, and then we teach him what he must be careful with. Ve'im lav melamden oso v'achakach mekablen. If we haven't seen him practice the divrei chaverus b'tzino up till this point, and he comes in asking, he wants to accept upon himself divrei chaverus, so we will teach him. And then we will accept him. Reb Shimon Choy Omer, Benkachu Benkach mekablen oisoi, v'hu lomeid kedarko v'holech. According to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, whether he has practiced ahead of time the Divrei Chaverus or not, we accept him at first and then teach him. This is unlike the Tanakhama, where he says if we didn't see him knowing Bitsina, then we don't accept him immediately. We first teach him and then we'll accept him. Tanu Rabbanan, Mekablin l'knofayim v'achakach mekablin l'taros. The word knofayim is an unusual word in this context. It's a reference to netilas yadayim, the washing of hands. The washing of hands that we practice is relates to the area of tahara. We want to remove what's called a sheni level of tumah that's associated with hands that have not been purified through washing. And when we speak about washing, we speak generally speaking about taking a cup of water and pouring it over the hands. So, mekablin l'knofayim, that is a reference to someone who accepts upon himself to wash his hands before he touches food. As we said before, the hands, unpurified hands, have the status, have an accepted status of being a sheni l'tumah. And a sheni, a second level tumah, can affect truma and make it, and ruin it, make it unacceptable. So, someone who has accepted upon himself hand washing, the source goes on to say, V'achakach mekablin netaros. Then we will accept him with regard to observing all other areas of taros. The imamar eini mekabel el knafayim. If he said, I'm accepting upon myself only hand washing, mekablin oso, we will accept him. Kibel letaros, velo kibel knafayim. If he accepted upon himself the other areas of of Taharos, but didn't accept upon himself the hand washing obligation, then Aflu Taharos Lo Kibel. We won't accept him as trustworthy even to with regard to other areas of Taharos. Tana Rabbanan, Ad Kamo Mekablun Oso. This question means that when a person is attempting to gain a certification as reliable, how much time must he accept upon himself with regard to being careful? In other words, I accept upon myself to be careful for the next X amount of time. By saying that, so we see he's mekabel on himself, divrei chaveros, how much time is necessary for him to accept upon himself the chaver status? So, ad kamo mekabel oso, beishamai omrim, lemashkin shloishim yoim. And Lixus Shneim Osor Chodesh, in order to gain Chover status. So, if he accepts upon himself Chover status for 30 days, so he gains reliability with regard to beverages. If he accepts upon himself to be careful with regard to his clothing, then his clothing shall not come into contact with Tomei people, for example. So, Lugabi Xus, if he accepts upon himself reliability, accepts upon himself to be careful for a period of 12 months, then we will accept him as his clothing also to be considered tohar. So according to the way we've said things so far, Beis Shammai is saying that to gain acceptability for trustworthiness regarding beverages, the person has to accept upon himself chavrus for 30 days in order to gain reliability with regard to clothing. So he has to accept upon himself reliability or stringencies of chavrus for 12 months. Beis Hillel disagrees and says even with regard to mashkin, to gain trustworthiness with regard to mashkin, he will have to accept upon himself chavrus for a period of 12 months. Well, in Cain, if this source is really as it says, Havile Mikule Beishame Umichumre Beishilol, it would then turn out to be an illustration of a leniency on the part of Beishame and stringency on the part of Beishilol. And there are very few areas in which that really takes place. And since this is not known as one of the areas, this raises a question. Because what we are saying in this source, according to Beis Shammai, in order to be considered trustworthy with regard to Mashkin, it's sufficient if one accepts a Mahana self divrei chaveros for 30 days. But according to Beis Hillel, in order to gain acceptability with regard to Mashkin, you would have to accept upon yourself chaveros for 12 months. So, as we said, this presents a problem because Beis Shammai is being presented here as the lenient opinion. Elo Emo. Therefore, the Gemara says we have to reverse matters and read the source as follows. Beis Hillel Omrim Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh L'Shloshim. That it's Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai, that says for both. Let us say this a little more accurately. Instead of presenting Beis Hillel saying Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh L'Shnei Masa Chodesh, Beis Hillel is really saying Echod Zeh V'Echod Zeh L'Shloshim. 30 days is sufficient. So that one can gain acceptability and trustworthiness with regard to his clothing if he accepts upon himself initially chavrus for 30 days. In parentheses, we see a simen, a type of one-word introduction to a number of upcoming sources and topics that we will see. And it reads, Chover, Talmud, Tcheles, Meches, Chozar, Gabai, Ba'atzmo. Each one of these words will take on significance as we go on in the Gemara. As we said, each one represents a topic within this general realm of Chaverus. Tana Rabbanan, Habola Kabel Divrei Chaverus. Someone who is interested in accepting upon himself Chaverus status, Sarach LeKabel B'fnei Shloisha Chaverim. He has to declare his intention in the presence of three people that themselves are chavers, chaverim. Uvanov Ubnei Beiso Einon Srichin Lekabel Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim. The children and wife of someone who is accepting upon himself chaveris, they don't have to accept this status. In other words, once the head of the household gains this status, his whole household will be considered trustworthy. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Af Bonov Uvnei Beisot Tzrifin LeKabel B'fnei Shlosha Chaverim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is strict in this area and says no. Not only does the head of the household have to accept upon himself chover status, but his children and wife also have to accept this status. The Tzrifin LeKabel B'fnei Shlosha Chaverim. Why? Lefi she'eno doime chover shekibel leben chover shekibel. One cannot possibly compare a case where someone himself accepted, whereas as opposed to someone whose father had accepted. And as a result of this this difference, we say that the children also have to accept upon themselves in order to gain the required status. Tanu Rabbanan, haba lekabel divrei chaver, sorech lekabel fnei shlosha chaverim. Someone who is accepting upon himself chaverus status has to accept this, has to make this declaration in the presence of three chaverim. Vafilu talmud chacham tzorich lekabel b'fnei shlosha chaverim. Even if the person himself is a Torah scholar, the mere fact that he's a Torah scholar is not enough to gain this status, but rather a formal declaration must be made in front of three chaverim. However, Zokein the Yoshev B'Yeshiva, this is a sage who also happens to be occupy a position of authority. Hence, he's called Zokein the Yoshev B'Yeshiva. He occupies a position of authority. It's not just a case of his being a Torah scholar. Someone like that, Eino Tzorach Lekabel B'Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. He doesn't have to accept upon himself Chaverus in the presence of three others. Shekvar Kibel Olov Misho Sheyoshav. Because he already, in effect, accepted upon himself Chaver status before he rose to the position of authority. So having accepted this position called Yoshev B'Yeshiva, that entailed already an acceptance of Chover status. Abishol Omer, Af Talmud Chacham Eino Tzorach LeKabel B'Fnei Shlosha. Abishol here represents a leniency with regard to the Talmud Chacham. He says that someone who is a Torah scholar doesn't have to accept upon himself Chover status. Not only does he not have to accept, make a formal acceptance, but others who are not Talmidei Chachamim can make their acceptance, make their declaration in his presence. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Benoi Shel Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignus Nishneis Mishnazu. The opinion of the Tanakhama, that even a Talmud Chacham has to make a formal Chaverus declaration, was taught in the days of this particular sage, Rabbi Chanan ben Antignus, who, by the way, was a Kohen. And now the Gemara gives some background to this comment. It brings this background through an incident that happened. Rabbi Yehuda ve Rabbi Yossi istapik lehu milsa betaros. These two outstanding Tanoim had a matter of doubt concerning an area in this realm of Taros. Shadru Zuza Darabonon Legabi Benoi Shel Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignus. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi sent a pair of Torah scholars to the son of Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignus. Zilu Imru Le La'ayin Ba. So the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi instructed this pair of Rabbanan, the Zuga de Rabbanan, go and tell him, go instruct him, or ask of him to look into this matter that we are in doubt. Ozlu, they went, Ashkehu de Kotoin Taros. They met Rabbi, the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, while he was carrying, Toin is carrying, there's another girsa that says Gomar, he was learning, but Taros, things that needed to be cared for in a state of ritual purity. Oisiv Rabbonon Mididei Legabayu. So the son of Rabbi Chaim ben Antignus didn't trust the party that was sent by Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yossi, and he sat by them. He insisted, or he instructed his own men. That's what the Gemara says, Rabbonin Midideh, his own Talmidei Chachamim, to keep an eye on these rabbinic emissaries. V'koi ihu liyumi bahi, then this is the son of Chinuch ben Antignus, got up and looked into the matter. So it's what the impression that we get is that the son of Chinuch ben Antignus did not trust these emissaries, who themselves were Talmidei Chachamim, that he was fearful maybe they would touch the taros that he was carrying. So he put these other supervisory individuals to keep an eye on the rabbinic emissaries. Well, they felt slighted, that they weren't trusted on their own. Amri lay the Rabbi Yudah of Rabbi Yossi. So they told Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yossi, the ones that sent them, what had happened. Omaluhu Rabbi Yudah. In this piece of Gemara now, Rabbi Yudah will present his take on this, and Rabbi Yossi his. So Rabbi Yudah says, Aviv shel zeh, meaning the father of this one. This is a reference to then Rabbi Chanino ben Antignus. Biza Talmidei Chachamim. He was guilty of denigrating Torah sages. Avhu mivazet Talmidei Chachamim. His son follows in suit, doing the same thing. That his lack of trusting you is just a reflection of his willingness to mivazet Talmidei Chachamim. Omar lo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi responds to Rabbi Yehuda's negative view of Rabbi Chaim ben Antignus and says, Kvod zokin yemunach bimkomo, the honor of this sage shall remain intact. And rather, and to explain what happened here, Elo, there's a different take on it. Miyoim shechorav beis hamigdosh, from the day that the holy temple, the Beis Hamigdosh in Yerushalayim, was destroyed, nohagu kehanim silsul ve'atzmon. Kohanim, and we pointed out before that Rabbi Chanino ben Antignus was himself a Kohen, they observed concerning themselves silsul basman, in Hebrew we say a ma'ala, a certain type of a higher attribute, she'ein moisim es ataros l'chol adam. They wouldn't give taros, they wouldn't entrust taros, that's a produce that was maintained in a state of ritual purity, they wouldn't give it to just anybody. So when you're dealing with kohanim, you have to realize that in order to, it might be an element of preserving their prestige in the face of the fact that there's no more Beis HaMikdash, so they nevertheless wanted to maintain their prestige and their honor by showing that they don't just trust anybody. But it's not an attempt to denigrate Talmidei Chachamim per se, but rather it's an attempt to preserve the prestige of the kahuna. Tanu Rabbanan, Eishes Chover Kechover. The wife of someone who had accepted upon himself Chover status, she too has that status. Chover Shemes, a Chover who died, Ishto Uvano Uvnei Beiso Harehen Cheskoson. The wife and his children and members of his household retain their Chover status and Sheyach Shadu until some type of suspicion arises. But without any suspicion arising, they continue the Chover tradition or status of their father or head of household. V'chein Chotzer Shemochen Bot Cheles, similarly a Chotzer, a courtyard a store that was selling Tchelis. Tchelis is a reference to tzitzis, but when we speak about tzitzis, we refer specifically to the blue threads that were dyed with the tchelis dye in order for the blue dye to be considered suitable for tzitzis. They have to come from a kosher source, which is known as the chilazon, a type of sea creature whose blood was of a blue hue to it, had a blue hue to it, and there are other phenomena in nature that produce this dye, but they are not authentic. So the authentic dye is from the chilazon, and it produces techeles. So we say that a store that had been certified as trustworthy with regard to the sale of techeles, hare hi b'cheskosa ad shetifsal, it retains this status until something of a suspicious nature arises. So that once something achieved this a status of trustworthiness, that status remains indefinitely until something suspicious arises. It would seem here that we don't have a concept, let's say, of renewing the license of chaverus. We should qualify that, of course, that this idea of renewing doesn't apply as long as nothing suspicious arises. However, if suspicion arises, and hence that will cause the loss of the chaverus status, then in order to regain that, that's already another story. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another Tanaic source, Eshes Am Horetz, Shenises L'chaver, the wife of someone who was considered untrustworthy, considered an ignoramus, who then during her second marriage, she marries a chover, a trustworthy person, a person who had accepted upon himself chover status. V'chein bito shel amoretz, likewise the daughter of an amoretz, shenises l'chover, that she marries a chover. V'chein avdoi shel amoretz, shenimkar l'chover, likewise a servant of someone who had been an amoretz, who was then sold to a chover. Kulon tzrichin l'kabel divri chaverus b'tchila. All of these people, having come from a realm of non-trustworthiness, now, as a result of a second stage entering the realm of chaverus, they have to accept upon themselves chaver status. In other words, the fact that they are now marrying into or being sold into a realm of reliability, that's not enough for them to automatically gain chaver status. They rather have to have a formal acceptance. Aval eshes chaver shenises lamoretz, a woman who had been married to a chaver and her husband died, let us say, and now she's marrying an amoretz. V'chein bito shel chaver shenises la'amoretz. Likewise, the daughter of a chaver who had chaver status while she was by her father's home, now she gets married to an ignoramus. V'chein avdoi shel chaver shenimkar la'amoretz. Likewise, the servant of a chaver who was then sold to an amoretz. Ein tzrichin l'kabel divrei chaverus b'tchila. Now, that means that if they subsequently go back to a chover after having been in the interim by the amoretz, so they don't have to have make a new acceptance, a new declaration of chaverus. They become reinstated to the status that they enjoyed at the outset. Reb Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Af hein tzrichin lekabel aleihem divrei chaverus betchila. Reb Shimon Elozer says they do have to make a new resolution of acceptance. Shehoya Reb Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon had been known to say in the name of Rabbi Meir, Maisa v'isha achas shenises l'chover. There had been a woman that was married to a chover, v'hoysa klimas lo tfilin al yodo. And she used to, klimas means tie, tie the tefillin or prepare the tefillin on his arm. So we saw that she was married to a chaver. So she was doing things that are we'll say of a holy nature, and hence preparation of tefillin is something that falls into that realm. Nisei slam oretz v'hoisa kosheres lo kishrei moiches al yodo. She then married a second marriage to a tax collector. In tax collecting, when people pay their taxes or tolls, they would receive something called a kishrei moiches, a type of sign that, in the context of this Gemara, it seems that it involves tying a knot with an emblem on it, or a sign, or the knot itself represented a certain sign that this person already paid the tax. So what's the point for us? The point here is that a woman follows the home or the style of her husband. So if she was with a Talmud Chacham, fine, then she was doing Talmud Chacham related things or Chaver related things, but once she marries the Amora, she then practices his practice. So if she at a subsequent stage goes back to a Chaver home, so she'll have to make a new acceptance. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.